A previously recorded Matt Slick show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome, everyone. It's me, Matt Slick. Here's the Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And let's see, we've got no callers waiting right now, so I think what I'll do is just kind of catch you up on some stuff. We've got some people who are interested in going on the Israel trip, and we need 20 people total. I think we've got about 9 or 10, so there's still some room. And if you're interested in the trip, all you got to do is go to Carm Israel, and you can check out the information there. And if you are interested, you know, there's a little form there to fill out. That's really important. That tells us if you're really interested in going, 13-day trip. And when you fill out the form, fill out the survey, then when it's time to sign up for real, you'll get $100 off the trip. And the information's all there, 4-star hotels and all that kind of stuff. I'll be there. My wife should be there, and we hope to be able to have a great time. So there you go. Hey, we also stay on the air by your support. If you're interested in supporting us, all you have to do is go to carm.org/donate, and should take you right there to the proper page. And let me check it, because we had an update, and it did something to the site, and one of those links wasn't working right. This one should be working right. So there you go. And if you want, you can watch the show. It's not a big deal. You can watch the show by going into the Carm homepage, and you can watch it on the Carm homepage. It's not a big deal, but people sometimes like to just see me sitting here at the office and in the chair with the head mic on and talking. All right. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right. So today, I spent some time going through, and I collected, and I've got more to do, but I collected a lot of the quotes from the positive confession teachers, because every now and then on the radio I'll mention this stuff and the flaming heretics that they are. And you know, when I say that, I mean it's what they are. They're heretics. They're teaching false doctrines. So if you're interested in checking it out, I'm going to read some of the stuff from there. You can just type in positive confession preachers and teachers at the Carm website, the search engine. And yes, we're still working on the search engine. Excuse me, the navigation issue. When it, at a certain size, we'd see the hamburger menu. It doesn't always work properly. And the company doesn't have any problems with any other website except ours, of course. And so they're going to be looking into ours specifically to see what the issue is. So praise God with that. We'll get that taken care of in, well, hopefully soon. All right, so we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. I have quotes from John Advanzini, Charles Capps, Kenneth Copeland, let's see, Paul Crouch, Kenneth Hagin, Benny Hinn. Wow. Let's see, who else? E.W. Kenyon, they're done alphabetically. Joyce Meyer and Fred Price. I'm going to be collecting even more Heresy Fest quotes, and I may have to break this page up into other pages, but for now, that's what I've got. And if you're interested in checking it out, all you got to do is just go to the Carm homepage, and you can see the list there, because the most recent articles show up on the homepage, and that means in a few days it'll filter off when we get more articles there, and that's that. Now we got callers coming in. Let's just jump on the callers. Let's get to Randall from West Virginia. Randall, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. What do you got, buddy?
I really need your advice. Kind of a question advice thing. I have someone that has been talking to me since August and saying that they feel like there's an evil spirit following them around, and in their house, and they asked me if I would come and bless the house, which I don't do that. I don't believe in sage and stuff like that. I told them.
You don't believe
but
in what?
They have told me some pretty wild stuff about what's going on. And mm-hmm. the woman that I talked to, I tried to ask her. I told her to get rid of anything in her house first, you know, like dream catchers and all that. Mm-hmm. And but when I asked her if she was married, she kind of hem-hauled around the question, and I kind of feel like that's where she claims to be a Christian, and I feel like that's what she has to do first is make sure she's married. And I don't know. I told them I will ask somebody else. I'm kind of at a loss.
Well, okay. One of the things that when we deal with this kind of a topic, we've got to understand that there certainly is a possibility of demonic activity going on. Now, is that what it is? I don't know. But let's just assume that it is. And what do we do about that? Well, what you said was correct. You need, or that person needs to get rid of any occult-connected items. They need to get rid of them. Dream captures, catchers. Now, also crystals. Now, I don't want to scare anybody. If you have a crystal on your necklace or something like that, it's not an occult thing. But if it's used for occult purposes, then it needs to be gotten rid of. Because there are cases of demonic things attached to objects. And so just having a dream catcher doesn't mean that it's a door, but that's what they're intended for in an occult thing. And crystals, though some people can have them and some not, it just depends. It all comes down to is the purpose to connect with anything spiritual. And if that's the purpose, then it's an occult apparatus. And anything could become that. And so anything would need to be removed that was used or was intended to be something by which anyone would contact or get in contact with a spiritual force. And so then it would all need to be gotten rid of. It also would need to become a Christian. Because if there's a demonic force in the area, the home, there's probably demonic oppression upon the individual. And so the person needs to become a Christian. They need to understand who Christ is and what responsibility is before God and what sin is, repentance and things like that. It all needs to be confessed, and they need to become Christian. If they choose not to, it doesn't mean we can't clean the house, though. So you go through, you make sure all the objects connected, things like that, are gone. You also want to make sure that there aren't some relatives or friends who are in a cult, like Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, or they're in a superstitious aspect of Roman Catholicism and praying to the saints and, you know, have these medallions that they give you to keep you safe from evil spirits, all this occult stuff. And then that would need to be dealt with, because sometimes people who mean well, like Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Catholics, praying for somebody because they're not Christians, can be involved indirectly with the occult. And so, you know, I remember going into a house once. We called it the Mary House is what we called it. At least that's what I called it. I've been in this lady's house in a few years here in the Idaho area. You walk in the house, and basically every wall is saturated with Mary pictures, statues, candles, and it was obviously just a humongous occult thing, and she thought she was a good Catholic woman. It was just idolatry. So a woman like that would need to get rid of all that stuff. Of course, she's not going to do it, but that's another topic. So what we do is you can do it yourself, you can do it with it, or the elders of a church can do it. If she says to be a Christian, she needs to repent of her sins. If she says she's a Christian and she's living in sin, then she needs to repent of that and stop it now, and either get married or move out or whatever condition must be arrived at in order for that to stop. Because you cannot be abiding in sin and then say, hey, God, would you please bless me? You want to be blessed by God? Well, then stop sinning. stop, you know, I mean, we can't stop all sin, but I mean, stop doing these overt sins, you know, pornography and fornication and adultery and, you know, lying and even white lies. It bothers me, taking a sidestep here, but a lot of Christians think it's okay to just tell little white lies as long as your intention was okay. No, it's called sin, and you got to stop it. It's like lying to your children about Santa Claus. And this makes a lot of people mad at me, but hey, that's the way it is. You don't tell your children that Santa Claus is real if he's not real, because that's a lie. And you're lying to your child. And you shouldn't do that, you know. And that's another topic, but that comes up during Christmas a lot. So anyway, then you can go through the house with oil, and you can pray through the house, anoint every door, every wall, every window, and you pray through the entire house, pray out loud, you know. It's not like a formula, but you do this kind of thing. Interesting. So anyway, that's it. And there you go. Okay.
Okay. The reason she called me is because her dad was a good friend of mine. He died, I think. They said COVID. But I was just wondering if I should even, if she doesn't marry this guy, which I need to find out for sure, but I don't think she's married to him. Does it do me any good to do anything for her? Because I've let her know that.
You can pray.
I just don't know.
You can pray, and you can ask the Lord to intervene, but you can find out more about her situation and recommend that she turn from sin and to Christ. And if she goes to a church, she needs to contact the elders of the church about what's going on in the house. Now, I've been over houses where they, you know,
there's some.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Now, there's some things I would not attempt by myself, because I have experienced some things in my past. I've seen some things, so I know that this stuff's real. Her situation, I don't know, but it sounds like it is. So I will approach it carefully, but I just wanted your advice on it.
You need to be very careful about it. So when I go into a house, which isn't very often, when they ask me to come in and pray through the house, I've done it in my own house, I've done it in other places. You pray and you go through the house, and you just trust God, that God is bigger in you than he that's in the world. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, man. All right, buddy. Well, God bless.
All right. God bless.
All right. All right. Well, folks, we have five open lines. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Now, as I was talking about at the beginning of the show about reading some of the stuff from the Positive Confession Movement, a lot of people may not know what that is. It's where the basic idea in Positive Confession is that Jesus died in order to make you healthy and wealthy. And if you are sick, it's because you've confessed that you're sick, and that's why you're sick, because words have power. And like Charles Capp said, that faith is a substance. And, okay, sorry. Uh-oh. Okay. That faith is a substance, and that it can be included in your prayers. And when it's included in your prayers, it gives you power. So, there you go. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome, everyone. We have nobody waiting right now. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. So Charles Capp says that faith is a substance. So this is important inside of the Positive Confession Movement, and you have to understand it to understand the heresy that comes with it. When you have one error, it usually leads to more errors. So faith is a substance. He calls it a raw material. He's one of the early guys who taught this stuff. And so he said that God used words as containers to hold faith. So faith is like a substance, and his words have a substance in it, and it goes forth, and therefore it causes things to occur. So the idea in positive confession is if you say that you're a sinner, well, then that's your words filled with power, and it'll happen. So you're like a little God, too. You can create things, because by your words you can make things happen. So this is why you have to confess that you're rich and confess that you're healthy. And don't confess that you're a sinner. Don't confess that you're sick. So in other words, it's kind of a Gnostic kind of a thing that's more in line with Christian Science or the mind sciences rather than biblical theology. Another thing that heretic Cap said is God needed permission from man to work on earth. And I love this quote from him. This is what he said. Notice that when Jesus said, "I have finished the work," we know that he had not finished the work. Now, I find that to be appallingly insulting and stupid. The guy actually contradicts Jesus. Notice that when Jesus said, "I have finished the work," we know that he had not finished the work. So he just called Jesus a liar. These arrogant fools who stand up and try and speak for God, and then they sway the gullible, the ignorant, those sheep who don't study the Word and don't know what it actually teaches. So they go to people who have big followings and lots of impressive words and things like that who sound good, and then they believe them. And when the blind follow the blind, they both fall into the pit. Let's get to Daniel from North Carolina. Daniel, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there, buddy. What do you got?
Quick question. Is it a sin to observe the Sabbath on Sunday versus Saturday?
No. Nope.
Okay, so that whole teaching is farce.
No, see, the reason is because Paul the Apostle says in Romans 14... 1 through 5 is where you got to go. You can read in that. And I'll just go to the important verse 5. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. If we're obligated to keep the Saturday Sabbath, then why would Paul say that one person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike? Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. If we're obligated to follow the Sabbath on Saturday, then Paul should not have said what he said right there. There's other verses I can get into, but that's one right there that's pretty powerful. All right?
All right. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. All right. God bless. Let's get to Herb from North Carolina. Herb, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. Thank you, buddy. I don't have much time for them at work, but I've been wanting to try to get through and ask you this question for a while. Mm-hmm. A few weeks back, you made kind of a general comment saying that there's a lot of things that you've been made aware of that may or probably will be happening in the country with all this craziness going on in Washington. And I wondered, you said if someone was interested to call up and you talk about it, and I just wanted to kind of get some perspective on, you know, what you've heard and what you think.
Well, you know, I don't want to say too much because, you know, it's easy to speculate and just be wrong about a lot of things.
Yeah.
So what I can do is say that, you know, there are obvious things going on, and just to speak the obvious. And what would the obvious be? Well, the obvious would be that there is becoming a division within America from the conservatives and the leftist wacko morons. And the leftist wacko morons, what they're trying to do is remove our gun rights, remove our religious rights, remove our own rights. Now, people may think that I'm overreacting, but I'm not. I'm looking at a file right now that I've been working on, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it yet. And I have about 90 files in it, and all they are is just links to articles on the web. And so, like, Biden drops plan to track the Chinese communist influence in American schools. So in other words, Biden, there was a plan in place to track the Chinese communist influence in American schools, and Biden got rid of that plan. Now, what the heck is he doing that for? Why?
Yeah.
You know, and then there's
nothing
black.
Good.
No, oh no, no. Biden's he's horrible. Black Lives Matter curriculum is being promoted, and it's starting to be promoted in schools. Here's another one. Democrats are demanding that Parler reveal its investors and creditors. Now, I'm going to just read a few of these titles because this is what I want to set the groundwork for. So the Democrats, there's an article, that's what it says, Democrats demand Parler reveal its investors and creditors. Now, why would they want to do that? Because Parler is not under the politically correct agenda, and so they want to find out who the investors and creditors are so they can go after them and punish them. So what we're seeing here, this kind of stuff, and I've got lots more, you know, on immigration stuff. You know, Biden is opening the gates to the illegals, opening the doors to the illegals, but stopping the Christian, I mean, not the Christians, but the people of America from going out in public, not stopping completely, but he restricts the people in America who are citizens or paying taxes and opens the door for the illegals and releases them from prison without testing of COVID, whatever, and allows them to come in the country. This is, in my opinion, it's
crazy, Matt.
It's crazy.
Why did our country vote for all this stuff is what I don't understand. I mean, you and I totally agree.
Tell you why, what's happened.
It's complicated. Look at it. But why do so many people vote for this stuff knowing, you know, he said, if you vote for me, I'm going to raise your taxes. And people voted for him, and he's raising our taxes.
Yeah.
Why do they do that? What's wrong with our country?
Because, sit down and watch TV for a little bit. And watch, just pick something. And then count in seconds how many seconds it is before the angle of the, whatever you're watching changes. And you'll notice, for example, in commercials, it's with 1, 2, 3 seconds that it changes. 1, 2, 3, not always. In movies and sitcoms and things like that, it's quick. Now, one of the things this does is it teaches us not to focus and not to have focus. We have to have things change really quickly. And so that combined with the lack of critical thinking that's taught in schools, there's no critical thinking taught in schools. There basically is no critical thinking taught in pulpits. They need to be taught this stuff because God's a necessary precondition for the laws of logic, which are universal abstractions and stuff. And so we're taught not to think. We're taught to follow and just respond and be fed. Well, the leftists have been working on things for decades. And the communists and the socialists and stuff. And there's lots of stuff. People infiltrating our government. It's been happening. Hey, we got a break coming up. Hold on, okay? We'll be right back, folks, after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have free open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let me just continue in the vein of the previous caller. A lot of you may think I'm just a bunch of, you know, I'm a conspiratorialist. No, I just, no. But I have been aware of things since the 80s, things that are problematic. And, you know, come on, you don't have to... You know, you don't have to be a genius or whatever to know that our schools are left-leaning, and fewer of our schools, the student body, won't even allow non-politically correct ideas on campus. I've read many articles over the past year or two where universities, the student body, will protest against a conservative coming in to speak. They don't even want it. Free speech is basically dead on university campuses. Now, the social media is obviously leftist. I mean, that should just go without saying. People should know that. The Democrats are talking about cleaning out or cleansing out and punishing Trump supporters. There's also been movements on the left to have conservatives' bank accounts either frozen or their ability to do commerce to be stopped. For example, they'll go to varying banks and say, well, this person doesn't, or this company doesn't agree with LGBTQ, so therefore you need to stop letting them use your bank. You know, so you have to understand something about the left. You have to understand, this is very, very important. Tyranny always approaches with kind words of fairness. Tyranny always approaches with words of fairness and tolerance. And the people who don't know any better just succumb to it. What's happening in our country is our gun rights are being restricted, indefinitely in violation of the Second Amendment. Freedom of speech is but a shadow of its former self. Okay, you can't say things that aren't politically correct because you'll lose your job. Minorities like LGBTQ and Muslim societies are influencing the majority, causing people to be afraid to speak out against them because we'll be in trouble. Christians are ridiculed and made to look like foolish bigots. So in light of this, I want to say something. This is what Nikita Khrushchev said. He's a Soviet leader. For those of you who don't know who Khrushchev was, he's back in the 50s, 60s range. Quote, "Communism will dance on the grave of the capitalist, and we will sell you the rope you use to hang yourself." And it's a famous quote, and I remember it. You know, it's the communists saying that they are going to infiltrate, they're going to destroy America. And why is it our schools are so leftist, our media is so leftist, our social media is so leftist, corporations are leftist, and they're getting rid of our guns, and they want to silence the opposition as far as speech goes. All right, having said all of that, what do you think's coming? Civil war? Or economic collapse? An increase of intolerance in the name of tolerance? A persecution of Christians? A socialist state? I don't know what's coming, but our country is in bad shape. One of the things that bothers me a lot is BLM is so supported, but yet it's a Marxist organization. Do black lives matter? Of course they do. Do white lives matter? Of course they do. Lives matter. And so we're not trying to be racist and just say, well, let's just promote this one particular skin color group above others. I don't believe in that. I don't believe there's three races, Asian, they call Mongoloid Asian, Negroid, the black, and then Caucasoid, the white people. I don't believe that. I believe there's only one race, the human race. And I think our country is way too focused on racism. And I also think that the left is using it, because with racism comes disunity, disharmony, and problems. And when you can have more and more problems, you can pass more and more laws to solve those problems. But those laws passed restrict the freedom of people. Now think about this. Do you think the bad guys who go out there with guns and do bad things, that they are going to agree to not use magazines that only hold 10 rounds or not use what they are called assault rifles? Do you think they're going to say, oh, okay, well, the law, so we can't do this? Who are the ones who are going to be affected by this? It's going to be the law-abiding citizens. So what the leftist government is doing is it is attacking the rights of those who are the ones who make this country possible. We're the ones, the conservatives, who try and do an honest day's work, leave us alone, let us watch our TV and our games, don't increase our taxes, and don't impinge on the rights that God gave us. But that's exactly what the leftists are doing. And there may come a point where a single spark ignites a fire, and I don't want that to happen. But this is the kind of stuff that I'm worried about. And the Bible says in the last days that people be lovers of themselves and haters of what is good. And so this is the kind of thing that's happening. So what do we Christians do? We Christians need to be praying for this country. We need to be praying for Biden and Harris. We need to be praying for Pelosi. We need to be praying for Trump. We need to be praying for people. so that God's will be done. But here's a thought. It could be, just might be, that because the Christian church has failed to do what God has ordered the Christian church to do, that the Christian church has sought more of its comfort and pre-trib rapture escapism and the comfort of our technology and our hope and expectation in what society and technology can provide. Just maybe we've become so lax, not focused on the Word, but gathering to ourselves teachers that tickle our ears. Just maybe God is now sending judgment upon our land because the Christians are no longer salt. They're no longer light. Now, that's not to say that all Christians are bad or all preachers are bad. No. But our country is in such bad shape, I believe, in part, because the Christians aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that is going out into the world and making disciples of all nations. And it does mean we take risks, and it does mean it can cost you. I know it has cost me. It's cost me. I've had my life threatened. I've had other things happen, but it's not about me. I'm just saying I know what it is. And are you willing as a Christian to do what's necessary before your Lord and serve Him? Now, I'm not saying get out there in front of a, you know, on a freeway on-ramp with a bullhorn, but to be willing to be used by God at those moments and times that He desires for you to speak up or sit down. Whatever it might be, and churches need to preach about this, and they need to teach Christians how to find their giftings and find out what abilities they have and find out what things they can do. We need to be marching. We need to be voting. We need to be making emails and phone calls to people, expressing our desire for the return of our country and our Constitution and things like that. And if you think, folks, as a Christian, you think that we're just supposed to turn the other cheek and do nothing, that is not correct. The issue of turning the cheek has to do with the personal insults, that you don't return insult for insult. And remember, Jesus is not the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude dressed in a woman's nightgown, waiting for permission for you to let Him into your heart. It's not how it is. But if we are going to not bow our knee to our sovereign Lord and then carry out what He wants us to do, then we're hypocrites. And hypocrisy is something that is bad. So I would suggest that if you're a Christian, you listen to my words, if these words are speaking to you, the first thing you must do is ask God to bring to your own awareness your own sin in this regard. And just, you know, as God does, you talk to God about it and say, Lord, thank You for revealing this to me, and please cleanse me of my sin and teach me how to be a better Christian who follows You. And you have to be ready, though, because sometimes what Christ calls of us can be difficult. Oh, I've had many experiences that were difficult due to my Christianity, and some that were just downright torrentially difficult. But I went through it anyway for my faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be willing to be able to be used by God. I have to tell you, though, He'll use you. He'll use you. But He won't leave you as you are. If you want to be used of God, you have to understand something. He will use you, but He won't leave you as you are. He'll shape you. But this is what we need to do in our country. And it starts with repenting in our own hearts, and in our families, in our churches, in our country. This is what happens. Hey, folks, you have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, the number is 877-207-2276. Be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's get to Adam from Iowa. Adam, are you there? Hello?
Hey.
Adam.
Hey there, Matt.
Hey.
Can you
hear
me?
On the air.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Hey. So, it's good to talk to you again, and I really appreciate all that you do. I want to be kind of quick with these questions. because I know other people are waiting. But I had one that came up after I told the guy my question. But I wanted to ask what the biblical definition of that you would say gluttony and lust, because
of what and what?
I struggle to know exactly what lust and gluttony is.
Oh, okay. Well, gluttony is an excessive desire and greed, I guess you could say, for food. Generally, it's understood what it is. And lust is an excessive desire either for an object, in a sense of coveting, because it could be used that way, but it also in the sexual way, people of the opposite sex with whom you should not be engaging mental attitudes and stuff.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Good. I mean, I've been struggling with trying to figure out if I'm if I'm a glutton, you know, and I'm like the skinniest one, if I am, that anybody would ever meet. Anyway, it's just something that I can't get a straight answer from anybody for, you know, and when they give me the answer, it conflicts with other people.
Well, but, see, you know, I used to be anorexic. That's the truth. I used to be anorexic. It's rare among males. So there was a problem the opposite direction. And now I'm 6 feet tall, 224 pounds. Just weighed myself this morning. So I'm not fat. Am I gluttonous? I am if I must use food all the time to satisfy this and that, etc. But then you could have someone who's big boned and being framed, and they're not gluttonous, but they look like they might be. So your own attitude before God is the issue. Is it something that you look to for comfort besides God? I'm not saying you can't, you know, watch a good movie and it's just comforting. But I mean, some habitual thing that becomes a control in your life instead of God. That's a form of gluttony and lust and covetous and things like that. They're kind of interrelated.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
All right.
And so my second mm-hmm. question is okay, so since the day I was converted, I haven't even been a Christian 2 years now, but since the day I was converted, I've always had this nagging fear of the unpardonable sin.
Okay.
But that December, I had this thought go through my head because I was frustrated because I didn't feel as if I was being convicted by the Holy Spirit, and I had a bad thought. And since then, I have had bad thoughts upon bad thoughts, and I don't want them, and I want to faithfully walk with the Lord, and I seek to every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I make my mistakes, and they need to be repented of, but I'm in this constant fear every single day of, like, have I committed it? And if I have, you know, I can't go to heaven and whatnot. And I don't know. I don't know what to do. I seek help.
All right, let me tell you.
And the question I've gone to, yeah, sure.
Let me tell you what it is. You can go find what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is in Matthew 12, 22-32. It is saying that Jesus did his miracles by the power of the devil. It's saying it and meaning it. That's what it is. It's nothing else. Some people may say it's something else, but they're ignorant because that's not what the Bible says it is. You can blaspheme, but that's not called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' miracles began. You got to stop making noise in the background, man. You're making a lot of noise and tinking around, okay?
Sorry.
Okay. This is important. You got to hear this, all right?
Yeah.
So blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is something that the Pharisees definitely could commit. Some people don't even think Christians can commit it today. But that's what it is in its old context. Jesus was baptized to enter into the Melchizedek priesthood according to the Old Testament law. And the Holy Spirit came upon him, and it was after the Holy Spirit came upon him that his miracles began. So I'm of the opinion that he was doing his miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit abiding on him in his anointing for his ministry. This is why they would say, you're doing it by the casting out demons by the power of the devil, and he says, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. That's what it is. You've not committed it. If you had committed it, then you wouldn't be able to be saved. Because we're elected before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4, by the Father and given to the Son, and the Son can't lose any. And if you think, well, maybe I never was saved to begin with, dead people don't worry about their salvation. Dead people don't. Okay, so you're worried about it. It means you're alive in Christ. You just are new in the faith and you don't understand that you've not committed it, you're not going to commit it, and that you're secure in Christ. It takes a while sometimes for some people to learn it because they get a little nervous about things because they're aware of their own sin. But along with the awareness of their own sin and the lack of conviction here or there, whatever it might be, along with that, was they grow in understanding. They also grow in understanding and trust of Christ. And they have to realize that trusting in Jesus is what keeps us saved. And even that faith is granted to us by God, Philippians 1:29. And what God gives us, as far as faith goes, is sufficient. So it's sufficient for salvation. And you're saved. And you just what you do is move on. Don't worry about this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit thing is keeping you back. You've not committed it. You're not going to commit it. You're saved. Move on. Trust Christ. And by faith, move on, trusting Him. Okay? Are you there?
So, yeah. Thank you. That's really reassuring. With the blasphemous thoughts, I suppose just keep bringing them to Christ, right?
And absolutely. Hey, I still struggle with things that for no reason jump into my mind. Like, where did that come from?
They're horrible, man. They're horrible.
Yeah. And I just say, Lord, please forgive me. I move on. That's it. Lord, just, there it goes. I just move on. It happens. Sometimes a lot more than others. Sometimes not for a long time. Whatever. It happens. Okay? We're still sinners by nature. But we're saved by grace and kept by grace, not by our ability to be good or think good or our ability not to think something bad. That's not what our salvation is based on. It's based on what Jesus did on the cross, not what we do now.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Well, God bless, okay?
Bye.
Okay.
God bless you, man.
All right. Hey, folks, pray for him. He would need that prayer. So just, God knows who he is. Just pray for him. Let's get to Michelle from Virginia. Michelle, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, you kind of halfway answered my question. In other words, I know it, but one of the things that I debate with other people, but not really debate, far as baptism and being saved by grace. Now, I know that we're all saved by grace, but a lot of people feel like if they baptize, they're born again, and they are automatically saved.
Yeah, that's
so
wrong.
Please explain that, and then one more.
Let me do one thing at a time. One thing at a time. Okay. Baptism is not a requirement for salvation. Baptism is not the thing that forgives us of our sins. The Bible says we're justified by faith, Romans 5:1, Romans 3:28, Romans 4:5. Galatians 2:16, Galatians 2:21, Titus 3:5. These are the verses that talk about salvation by faith and trust in Christ, not by anything we do. And that's it. That's all that it is. So if we're justified by faith, where I ask the people who teach baptism is necessary, I ask them, are we justified by faith, as Romans 5:1 says? It says, having therefore been justified by faith. And they'll say, yes, that's what it says. Well, then, if we're justified by faith, are we justified by faith when we have faith? The answer has to be yes. If they say baptism is necessary, then they're not justified by faith, and they're preaching a false gospel. Okay?
Yeah, okay. Okay, now, saved by grace. It's the same, right?
Yeah, grace is the unmerited favor of God, and faith is something God grants to us, Philippians 1:29. And he works faith in us, John 6, 28-29. So it comes from God, and it is therefore sufficient. Now, we actually do believe, because he enables us to believe. He grants it to us. That's what it says. And so those are the verses, folks, Philippians 1:29. Go check it out.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
100% agree. Okay. Now, reprobate. When God's saying these last days, he's going to lead them over to a reprobate mind and home.
That's,
I think it's 8-9.
It's Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 26. Yeah.
24
through
26.
Well, actually,
what is the definition of reprobate that Paul was basically saying in Romans?
Depraved.
That's the best way.
It's the Greek adokimos. And it just means reprobate, depraved, really fleshly, ungodly, that kind of a thing. And so, He gives them over to their depraved mind, their reprobate mind, their ungodliness. God gives them over. And the context of that giving over is homosexuality and lesbianism. That's
okay.
The context.
So that's the time we're pretty much living in now.
Yeah, it's bad news. And if people think I'm wrong, go read the context of Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18, and read to the end of the chapter. You'll see.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. That's all I needed to know. All right.
All right. Well, God bless. Okay. Let's get to Larry from Iowa. Hey, Larry. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Good evening. I wanted just to make comment related to what you were speaking about earlier. We're seeing the last days and becoming more humanist, secular. My wife went to order a book on prayer from Barnes & Noble, and they said they couldn't get that book. And she said, well, can you order it? They said, no, we're no longer going to be carrying that type of material in our store. So,
wow.
It's happening all over.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know what to do about it. I know what needs to be done. And there's two actions. One is in the church, and one is by the Christians outside the church. What needs to happen in the church is Christians need to be praying specifically for what's coming and for the power of God to move through Christians to change society. And that takes different forms of prayer. And then Christians need to get off their lazy rears and start making demands. You call up Barnes & Noble and say, I want these books. And the Christians should be doing it by the millions. I want to can you order these books? They should have their phones crashing because Christians are doing this. I want to order a book. I would say, folks, for example, the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Okay, if you don't have it, you just need to get it, folks. I would say call up Barnes & Noble and say we need Fox's Book of Martyrs. Pilgrim's Progress. And ask for books like that. Ask for my books, okay? But the Influence by Matt Slick, you can do different books. You can ask, but if this happens, if Christians just say, "Well, I'm just going to be nice about it, not worry, because someone else will take care of it," then you're part of the problem.
Yeah, get it. Good idea. So we're supposed to remain salt in the earth, and if we don't, if we're not salty, then it says in verse 13 of Matthew 5 that we're just trampled underfoot by men.
Yep. It's exactly
really
right.
Salty.
See, I'm annoying to people because I say, as Christians, we're supposed to be out there doing something. I don't understand how Christians, for the most part, don't want to expand the kingdom of God. I don't understand that. And if
all right, brother, thanks.
We're not sure,
God bless.
You're welcome. God bless. If I'm not sure how, I believe it's because the pastors aren't doing their jobs. Hey, folks, may the Lord bless you. We're out of time. Call back tomorrow. Ron from North Carolina. May the Lord bless you and be back on the air by God's grace tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. See you. God bless. Bye.